Please take your Bibles and turn with me first in the New Testament, the book of Acts. Acts 1, we'll begin reading at verse 4. It's found on page 1156 in the Pew Bibles. Acts 1. Acts comes after the four gospel accounts and records more history of the early church. This after, pretty much right after, Christ ascended into heaven, the pouring out then of the Spirit. It is that pouring out of the Spirit that we read about from this book. Acts 1, beginning at verse 4. People of God, hear now God's holy word. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us also turn in the New Testament to the book of 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 1, found on page 1300 in the Pew Bibles, 2 Peter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, children that are going to read, our text will take us back to Genesis, but pay careful attention here how this ties into the flood. 2 Peter 3, verse 1, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Then let us turn back the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 7, begin reading at verse 6. It's found on page 7, verse 6, and we'll read through verse 14 of chapter 8. Genesis 7, beginning at verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Every bird according to its kind, every winged creature, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. But God remembered Noah, and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot. And she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, have you ever been forgotten? Young people, maybe even adults, you think back to when you were children. Has your father or mother ever forgotten about you when they left church in the van, some other place, without you? Or maybe you didn't hear from someone that you expected to, and you begin to wonder if they forgot you. Well, maybe you're going through a hard time in your life. Maybe you wonder if God has forgotten you. How could things be so hard if I'm God's child? We're tempted to think this way, aren't we, at times? Rest assured, though, God has not forgotten you, believer. We come in the account of Noah, we'll cover in three sermons, Lord willing, to the second part of this. The flood of Noah's time. Now, Noah's flood is a pointer to Christ's work on earth, to the day of Pentecost, to Jesus' second coming. For Noah's flood points to a sort of recreation, which is what Jesus accomplished. The Spirit brings to us, and God will finalize when he sends Jesus back. Now, whether with Noah's flood, Christ's first coming, the day of Pentecost, or Christ's second coming, the Scriptures again and again teach us something. And that is that God watches over his people. God watches over his people, you. And we see first, he watches over for preservation. For preservation. We see that especially from chapter 7, verse 16, the second part. And we left off in a story where Noah obeyed the Lord and built the ark according to God's commands. Then Noah obeyed the Lord and entered the ark according to God's command. He, his household, and the many animals and birds. Well, now we come to the event of the flood itself. Verse 16, those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in, and then the flood. Now think back. We had some hard rain recently. Think back to the hard rain. Think back to a time you were maybe in a barn or a shed with an exposed roof, an uninsulated roof, and that rain comes down. Do you remember that? It pounds, doesn't it? It's very loud inside. The water comes down in torrents so loudly you can barely speak to others. You look outside a few minutes, puddles begin to form. In a few hours, there's water all over the ground. Now think of that type of torrential downpour continuing. Not for an hour, not for a day. Which of us have experienced a whole day of torrential downpour? But 40 days and 40 nights with no break. That's not all. Verse 11 tells us, not only were the floodgates of the heavens opened, a torrential downpour, but also all the springs of the great deep burst forth. Geysers shooting up from below. Water pouring down from above. You know, the second day of creation, remember back to that when God separated the waters above from the waters below. That is, in essence, being undone with God's judgment upon man's wickedness with the flood. You know, people marvel at the Grand Canyon. Another great sights of erosion. Now, often unbelieving man attributes that to the work of one river over millions of years. Well, here in Genesis 7, we find what could have been the real reason. Massive amounts of water pouring down from the sky, shooting up from the ground. Who can even begin to guess how much this first day, let alone 40 days, how much this great flood altered the landscape of the earth. And it was over the earth that the flood waters prevailed. We read of that again and again and again. Not only clearly told that in verses 19 through 20, but even the long duration of the flood, almost 8 months after the first raindrops fell until the tops of the mountains were seen. 8 months! And it was almost over a full year before Noah left the ark. That indicates this is not just a little flood. Not a flood limited even to our continent, but a flood that covered the globe. Yet many deny that. Why? Why do so many deny the flood or deny its universal destruction? Well, think that if someone admitted that truth, truth as recorded in God's Word, they would have to deal with the one who sent the flood. And why the flood was sent. Because it was not a natural event. Oh, it was nature, so to speak, but it was not natural. And they would have to deal with the fact that there is a God, the God of creation, a God who sees into our very hearts, a God who is completely righteous and holy and cannot bear evil, a God who judges. And we don't like to be judged by others, do we? Young people, think if you have your friends home or maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend and your parents make some critical remarks. Or parents, what do you think if someone comes up to you and makes critical comments about how you're raising your children? What's our first impulse when we're criticized? Well, we bristle, don't we? Rebuke is hard to take, even for the Christian, even when it's true. And we ought, in one sense, to be glad others care enough to point out what they see as errors and sins. Especially if our parents do that. Psalm 141 verse 5 says, "Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it." But human nature is not that way. How much more than for an unbeliever, one who hates God and neighbor, to be confronted with his or her sin and condemnation and judgment. It's easier for fallen man to deny God exists, deny God punishes sin, deny I am a great sinner under God's judgment and wrath, than to admit all that. Second Peter instructs us, as we read, sinful man denies the clear realities of God's existence, denies the clear historical event of the flood. Why? In order to smother a condemning conscience. Takes the work of the Holy Spirit to bring you, me, anyone to repentance. That's why so many deny the flood as the Bible presents it. They use excuses of geology and science, but they're just that, excuses. The scripture record is clear. God is angry with the wicked. And as a just judge, he punishes now and in eternity. The flood of Noah's time is evidence enough of that. Therefore, I urge everyone here this morning, repent of your sins. As we read from 2 Peter, God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is holding back the final judgment, giving time for repentance. However, as we hope to see again this evening, the day of the Lord will come. A day for the wicked of judgment and wrath. And no one will escape that day. No one can hide. Just as the flood waters filled every crack and crevice, every hole and every hollow, the day of the Lord and judgment will come upon every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. The wicked will not be annihilated so they no longer exist, but they will be punished eternally for their sins as their just fate. Therefore, repent. Why will you perish? But in the midst of destruction, worldwide devastation, God watches over his people for preservation, to preserve us. God knew he would send that massive flood to destroy mankind. God had already warned Noah about the devastation he would bring about because of the flood. God told Noah, build an ark, enter into it, bring the animals. And Noah did. But then God did something else. Something God does not command Noah to do. God himself does. And we read that in verse 16. Just before the first raindrop falls. The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. The Lord watches over his people to preserve us. And he did that for Noah by closing the door of the ark. A miracle. A miracle indicating grace, but also judgment. Grace for Noah, and the time of grace had ended for those outside. the preaching of Noah about the wickedness of his fellow man, the need to repent and turn to God, that had ceased. Not with Noah's death, as what happened to Abel. Remember that when Cain killed Abel? But with sealing Noah in the ark, separating Noah, the preacher of righteousness, from the wicked race of man outside the ark, God preserved his people from sin and wickedness, and now God will preserve his people from the just destruction of wicked man. The Lord shut him in, giving further confirmation, not only with words, but with a miraculous action. The Lord sent Noah. The Lord spoke to Noah. The Lord loved Noah. And the Lord will preserve you, Noah. God watches over his people. The congregation, the Lord has given an even greater work to us, demonstrating his watchful care, his preserving, his preservation of you and me. He sent his Son to rescue us. The door of heaven had already been closed to sinful man, but Jesus willingly left his glory in heaven. He came down to us on this fallen, wretched earth. Himself unfallen, himself righteous, lone dot in the vastness of one ocean, covering the entire globe. The mountains are covered. It'd be like looking down from the satellite images we see and there'd be only blue. But then you could zoom up and see one little dot. The ark was large by human standards, but it would be so small. And think of that then. Everything calm. No birds outside chirping. No noise of human activity outside. No wind whistling through the trees. The rain had stopped weeks ago. And on top there, it would be silent. Dead. But what did we read in chapter 8, verse 1? God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. A wind begins to blow. Now, a natural wind comes about only when there's some difference in land or water temperature. Did God bring about some earthly temperature difference to cause the wind? Oh, perhaps. But regardless, it's God who sent the wind. We read that, didn't we? God made a wind blow over the earth. To this point, nothing. Stillness. The quiet of a world destroyed. And then the wind begins to blow. And with the blowing of the wind, the waters begin to recede. God remembers. God has not forgotten Noah. He remembered. We read that also. God remembered Noah. No doubt, hearing the sound of the wind, feeling it blow, would give Noah peace, would calm his soul. God has remembered. Death all around. Death for months. Quiet as a crypt. But the wind blows. Life. And in that we hear echoes of man's creation. The Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature. Breath. Wind. Now, in our earthly experience, we know when the wind blows, the earth dries out much quicker, doesn't it? But if we were writing only a naturalistic account, well, it's not only wind that dries out after a soaking rain, but those who are involved in excavating, moving dirt, what do you want to look for too? Sun, right? We're not told the sun came out. Now, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. We don't know. Maybe it was shining before. We don't know. We are told about a wind. That's significant. The same word used in chapter 8, verse 1, wind, is used back in Genesis 1, verse 2, for the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, used throughout the Bible for the Spirit, the breath of God. And we are to catch here echoes of the Holy Spirit at work, calling to mind creation account, the Spirit hovering over the waters, calling to mind the creation of man, God breathing into him and him becoming a living creature. It's not only the earthly wind that brings peace to Noah. It's the Spirit of God who calms and comforts his heart. Produces in Noah's heart at the sound of the wind sent from God a peace that God has remembered. It is finished. Judgment is over. The God who destroyed with a great destruction is now bringing about new life. A recreation of sorts. God sent a wind. God remembered Noah. Now think ahead thousands of years from Noah. Remember, as we read last time from 1 Peter, children, remember Noah's flood. What does it symbolize? Baptism. Now think to the accounts of Jesus' baptism. In each of the four gospel accounts there, after Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the waters of baptism. What happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. The flood of Noah and God sending the wind, the breath, after the destruction points ahead to another baptism, the baptism of Jesus and God sending his Spirit upon Christ after he came out of the waters of baptism. And yet there's more fulfillment. For think to Jesus' death and resurrection. The great work of resurrection following the death of Jesus, his 3 days in the tomb. Noah and the ark drifted upon the waters, the quiet waters, waters like a tomb. God remembered Noah, righteous Noah, blameless Noah. And in the midst of that death and destruction, he remembered. Well, with Jesus, God's just penalty satisfied by Jesus having undergone the agony and torment of hell. The price has been paid by Jesus, by the Son of God. And then on Easter Sunday, God worked a great work, raising Jesus from the dead, never to die again, glorified forever beyond corruption and death. God did not forget his servant Jesus, Jesus in the grave. God remembered Jesus, righteous Jesus, his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased, as was said at his baptism. God remembered his promises to Jesus, found in the Scriptures, and God raised Jesus from the dead, the breath of life. Spirit of God. Jesus became, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, he became a life-giving spirit. But we can apply this further still in the history of redemption to the day of Pentecost, when Jesus demonstrated that he did not abandon the church, that he remembered his people, the disciples, the church. Noah had to wait 150 days before God sent a wind. The disciples waited 10 days. Before the ascended Christ sent his Spirit upon the church. Before the ascended Jesus, God the Son, sent a sound of a mighty rushing wind, violent wind, filling the whole house where the disciples were sitting. As Noah and his household were all in one place, the ark, so the new covenant church, they were all in one place when this happened, this recreation. God sending a wind. Not over the earth, not yet, but over that tiny gathering, those timid saints, when God, through his Spirit, he empowered them, emboldened them, so they would go out and they would be witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. God watches over his people for peace. Peace in the midst of a troubled world, to bring the message of peace to a troubled world. And the men installed into office today are the result of Christ pouring out his Spirit upon the church. With their laboring in your midst, God is watching over you. He is caring for you. He has not forgotten you. They minister to you spiritually and with earthly needs. So you would not fear. So you would not live in unbelief, but trust. And live in believing peace. Pray for these men. men, by God's grace, fulfill your office and be a blessing to this people. With Noah's flood, God sent a wind over the earth, causing the waters to recede so Noah could step out onto a new world and fill that world. Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist looked forward to Christ's ultimate baptism of the cross, yet rising from the dead victorious on Easter Sunday, then ascending into heaven and sending His Spirit, bringing the new covenant church, the powers of the age to come. So that Christ's resurrection is not only just a reality for Him, but it comes into our lives here and now. The Spirit regenerating us, bringing the new creation to us, coming to its fullest expression when Christ returns again. And He raises our bodies from the grave, causing us to live forever, body and soul, in the new heavens and new earth with our Lord. Congregation, trust in this Savior. Trust in Jesus. Trust that through Him the righteousness of God has come. And simply through believing in Jesus, His righteousness is yours. You have forgiveness. And because you are forgiven, because God has not forgotten you, but He sent His Son to die and rise again for you. He sent His Spirit to bring the blessings of Christ to you. Have peace. Peace in a troubled world. Peace in the midst of a world that the world at that point in Noah's life is a scene only of death and destruction. Be at peace with God. Have peace within. Because God is your Father for the sake of Christ, His Son. Through the working of the Spirit. That blessing we hear every Sunday. It's not merely words. It's reality. That's our comfort in sorrow, in disease, as we pass through death itself, as we grieve over sin. Peace. God watches over His people for peace. He watches over for preservation. He watches over for peace. He also watches over, as we consider thirdly, for perseverance. Perseverance. Now, God caused the waters to recede, the land to dry out. The second day of creation week is, in a sense, repeated. With the waters above, the waters below being separated again, although much was altered. That opens the way for vegetation to appear, as it did on day three of the creation week. And with vegetation, the earth is once more inhabitable, as it was in the creation week. But to test the dryness, Noah sent out some birds. Why? Why did Noah do that? Just to test the dryness of the earth? Why didn't he wait for God to give the command? As we hope to read next week, chapter 8, verse 15. Was it a lack of faith on Noah's part? We ought not to think that. It hasn't been revealed to us that Noah acted apart from the command of God. We shouldn't think he has. Instead, we should see again significance and themes tied through Scripture. Look at that dove. The work of Noah's dove proves to Noah the wind, it has had an effect. The earth is drying out. Life will continue. Persevere. There's hope. The earth is drying. You will live. Don't lose hope. Don't despair. There is a recreation. Now, earlier, we drew out some connections between Noah's flood and the baptism of Jesus at the hand of John the Baptist. Children, do you remember some detail that I left out? And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. What form did the Holy Spirit descend? We didn't read it, but do you remember? A dove. A dove. That's no coincidence. Now, maybe you've heard the saying, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. There are themes that connect across the years, across the events, so it is here. The coming of the Holy Spirit as in the form of a dove upon Jesus after His baptism. It's a sign Jesus is empowered and commissioned to go into the world, to bring the kingdom of God, that God is doing something new with Jesus. It calls to mind the sequence of Noah's flood. The judgment is finished, a new world awaits, ready to be inhabited. And Jesus is the one, He is the Christ who will do it. A new creation. But it's not just for Jesus Himself. For again, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out His Spirit upon the New Covenant Church. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit by the crucified, resurrected, ascended Christ on the day of Pentecost is Jesus empowering the New Covenant Church, what? To go into the world. What did Jesus say? We read in Acts, "You are my witnesses." Bring the message of righteousness. Bring the message of forgiveness. But not just bring the message. Show by your living that a new creation has come. The reality of this new creation is already breaking into this world in our lives, shown by we believe, we trust, we are changed, we love God, we love our neighbor. The Apostle Peter wrote to his readers, knowing what God in Christ has done and the final judgment will do, how ought you to live? As you look forward to that day, live righteous lives. Jesus did not forget you. He did not forget His people. He did not leave us as orphans. He has come to us by the working, the power of the Holy Spirit poured out. God remembers His people so that we would live blameless and productive lives, testifying to God's work in Christ, living that out. Brothers and sisters, you and I are not simply to sit around and bask in what Christ has done with us, with the forgiveness of our sins, being right with God. That's critical. That forms the foundation. But you and I, we have been saved to serve. God has bestowed grace upon us so we would show our gratitude. God preserves us and gives us peace so we would persevere in service to Him, live for Him, love our neighbor. To make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Brothers and sisters, those who trust in Jesus, who belong to Him body and soul in life and in death, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry about your salvation. Christ has done it. In faith, know God is your Father for the sake of Christ, His Son, sealed to you by His Spirit. Now live as God's child. Live as God being your Father because of Christ in the power of the Spirit. The destruction has passed. You have passed through destruction. And you have come out into new life on the other side. You died with Christ. You were raised with Christ. His Spirit is within you. A time is coming when God will send Jesus back to fully remove all sin and sinfulness. That day is coming. Till then, God watches over His people. Live that way. Live as one over whom God is watching. By His grace, let us do so. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You sent a flood. And it destroyed everything, except for a few. And You did not forget those few. You remembered. And You bring about a new world. And how that looks forward to Jesus. For Noah was not the Savior. And the waters of that flood could not cleanse hearts. But Jesus did and does. You have poured out the Spirit. May we not treat that as some fairy tale. May we not forget it. But Lord, increase our faith that we would hold fast that we died and were raised with Christ. The Spirit lives within us and we don't have to live in sin. No temptation has seized us and You are faithful. Temptation that seized us is common to man. And You give a way of escape, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of Christ. So may we live for You always, testifying to Your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.